please stand with me for the reading of the word, Daniel chapter 6. How many of you know he'll never let you down?
Never.
My God, thank you, Sister Love, for that reminder that he will never, ever let you down. We've been in Daniel for the last several weeks, and I thought it fitting to finish this little mini-series where we started in Daniel. Amen.
Amen.
If you remember, I said if you wanted to download a digital copy, just go into your YouVersion app, hit the More tab at the bottom right. It'll pull up live events, and from there you can actually see greater. I'm going to do it now, even as I talk. Amen.
Amen.
Go to YouVersion as it loads up. Hit More. Go to Events or Live Events, and you'll see Greater Bethlehem right there. And you can save a digital copy and edit and type and all that goes along with that. So hopefully you're taking full advantage of our use of technology. All right, Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Those that have found it, say, I've got it.
Got it.
Listen as I read from the Christian Standard Bible. If you don't have your scriptures on today, they will be on the screen. Then King Darius wrote to those of every people, nation, and language who live on the whole earth. May your prosperity abound. I issue a decree that in all my royal dominion, people must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He rescues and delivers. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. For he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we are so grateful for your faithfulness.
Yes, yes.
As a matter of fact, Lord, we just think of your goodness and your glory in all of our lives, and we are compelled to give thanks. So, Father, as we make the transition from summer back to school, Father, we pray just your covering over our campuses and our children,
yes, yes,
and those who serve our children in every capacity. And Father, I'm asking in faith that you would help us to stand in the midst of our culture, that we be willing to be seen, that we let our lights so shine. And Father, on today, we discover that you give us the power to do so. It's a part of your desire for each of our lives. So we thank you. And we pray that as we examine your word on today, you speak to every single one of us. We give you glory, praise, and honor. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Our subject for today is the difference maker. The difference maker. Our message moment, which captures the essence of what we'll be dealing with on today, says this. As we courageously make a difference in our culture, God stands before us as the difference maker in our lives. Hashtag difference maker. When I think about my life and when you think about your life, whatever you've been able to accomplish for the glory of God has been accomplished by the power of God. Whatever you've been able to accomplish for the glory of God has been accomplished by the power of God. And don't ever get it confused that anything you do is in your own strength if God gets the glory. If you're able to perform it, if you're able to do it, if you're able to achieve it, believers know that it is directly related to the power of God made manifest in all of our lives. See, that's where we get the I can do all things from. It's not from ourselves, but it is based upon the power that is actively at work in all of our lives. So as we have studied through the book of Daniel, we've seen young men of faith do miraculous things for God, but don't ever get it twisted that it was not them, it was him. Oh, I think y'all missed that. It wasn't them performing it, it was him, God himself, doing it through them. God allows us to make the difference. And so this helps us to operate in a spirit of humility, understanding that anything we're able to do that's glorifying God is done by the empowerment of God himself. So in Daniel chapter 1, if you're able to work your scriptures, we started in Daniel chapter 1 as these young men made their way into scripture. They were captives by the Babylonian Empire. But as a consequence, they were able to stand firm based upon their dietary distinctions. And they chose not to partake in the things that the world partook. And as a consequence, they looked better than everybody else. They thought better. They had clearer skin. As a matter of fact, they looked so good, everyone took notice. And they were selected by the king to be representatives based upon them being willing to stand against the culture. But then we keep reading in Daniel and we make our way to Daniel chapter three, when Nebuchadnezzar erects this obelisk, this huge statue of himself, and there was a decree that everyone ought bow down when the music is played. These young men had already set themselves apart for the glory of God, and they were not going to bow down. So while everyone is bowing, these young men are standing. But again, it's not them. It's God at work in them. See, I need you to understand that when you are standing for the Lord, he gives you the strength in your knees. He gives you the power in your feet. He gives you the conviction of your heart. You just got to make yourselves available. So while everyone is bowing and cowering down to this statue, these men are standing, and they're standing firm in their faith. But the text is moving, and in Daniel chapter 6, once again, they try to go after the men of faith. And so they set Daniel up in a worse way. They say, we can't get him to be trapped by our standard, so we'll just change the standard. And we'll create this fake decree, and we'll say that anybody who prays during this season to anybody other than King Darius will be sent to the lion's den. Daniel hears the decree, and the text says he goes to pray anyway. See, y'all, we need some anyway pray, anyway faith. That we're willing to pray anyway, we're willing to serve anyway, we're willing to stand anyway, regardless of what the world says, we're going to stick to the faithfulness of our God. Daniel goes upstairs in his room and he gets on his knees and he begins to pray. And they see him and they tell the king about him. And the king, recognizing, watch this, that he had been set up, he tries to relinquish this decree, but it's too late. Daniel has to go to the lion's den. The other three went to the fiery furnace. Daniel goes to the lion's den. And we all think, man, that's it. Lion's going to eat him up. They're going to tear him up limb from limb. But the text says he was in the lion's den, but an angel of the Lord closed the mouths of the lions. Y'all, I'm talking about the difference maker. See, it wasn't Daniel that did it. It was God working in and through the ministry of Daniel. So Daniel's in the lion's den all night, just kind of chilling with some lions, praying before the Lord, talking to the Lord, hanging out with some lions. And early the next morning,
The king rushes down. Daniel, did your God save you? Daniel say, I'm right here, bro. Let's go get some breakfast. I'm hungry. They remove the rock and Daniel comes out unharmed. And just in case you thought maybe there was something wrong with those lions, of the very next verse says, king was so upset that he put all those who lied into the lion's den. They didn't even wait, make it to the bottom of the pit. The lions tore them up on the staircase. And so we make our way to Daniel chapter 6, verse 25. And this is the context for which we are preaching now. The king is basically overwhelmed by the activity of God in the life of these Jewish people. I mean, he's blown away that their God is so faithful that he makes what I called a worldwide decree. It was a worldwide decree. Look at the text. It says, he wrote to those, every people of every nation and every language who live on the whole earth. It was a worldwide decree. He wanted everybody to know how he felt about Daniel's God. Let me pause for just a moment and just share something with you. Would it be great if every child of God made a worldwide decree? I mean, let's just keep it real, y'all. We post about everything else. Oh, it's quiet up in here. We debate and talk about everything else. What if you just made a small decree and just say, God is good? Maybe you don't want to post it on your social media. Maybe if you just told a couple of your friends how good God has been in your life. Maybe tomorrow at work, while you're at the coffee, whatever they call the water cooler, you're just hanging out, talking and sipping, talking about the Cowboys. Did the Cowboys win last night? The devil is a liar. We don't talk about that, but you're at the water cooler. And you just kind of infuse in the conversation the faithfulness of God. See, many of us are intimidated by worldwide decrees. Why don't you just make a small decree sometime? And so anyway, King Darius, he's blown away by what he's witnessed at the hand of God, this difference-making God. So he makes this decree, and his decree is the substance for our sermon on today. Isn't it amazing that a man that didn't know God can write something so powerful that it sounds like a man of God wrote it? See, if you look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 25 through 28, it is symbolic. It is resembling many of the scriptures we read in the book of Psalms, where it talks about the goodness and glory and the power of God, where it talks about God, how he moves in all of our lives. This king wrote something that sounds like scripture. And as a consequence, it is included in the canon. It's a powerful, powerful piece of writing. So this worldwide decree is not the first time we've heard it. King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4 wrote a similar decree. See, it's amazing how God can move upon the hearts of men who don't know him. Wow. What do you mean by that, Pastor Brown? Y'all, our witness really matters. And if we would but allow our lights to shine, we could impact those supervisors and those coworkers. We could impact those that we interact with on our campuses. Why? Because when we allow our light to shine, we can impact the lives of those who don't know God. I'm trying to get y'all equipped for this new school year. I don't want you to enter the campus the same way you left. I want you to go back with a new zeal, a new desire to make a difference for God. But in Daniel chapter 4, if you just flip back, King Nebuchadnezzar does a similar thing. In Daniel chapter 4, listen to his decree. King Nebuchadnezzar, to those of every people, every nation, every language who live on the whole earth, may your prosperity increase. Very similar language. I am pleased to tell you about the miraculous and wonders the Most High God has done for me. How great are his miracles and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. See, what I love about how God makes a difference. God knows how to touch the hearts of those who are close to him and those who are far from him. See, there is no profession of faith by King Nebuchadnezzar or King Darius, but still they can't say that they didn't know God was good. And see, that's what happens with us when we take the time to let our light shine. We have no idea how God will use it for his glory. Oh, child of God, when you hit that campus, hit it boldly. You don't have to be loud. You just have to be lit. Hit it boldly. Let your light shine before men. So he opens up verse 25 with this statement that it's for the whole world. It's a worldwide decree. And then he gets specific. He says, I issue a decree that in all my royal dominion, people must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. First thing I see here is God makes the difference. Get that down. God makes the difference. He observed and he experienced, he learned through both what Daniel said and how Daniel lived that God makes the difference. See, this keeps every single one of us from getting the big head, Stephen Brown. This keeps every single one of us from thinking too highly of ourselves. Even when people praise us, we can simply say it's God who made the difference. As a matter of fact, help me preach this. Look at your neighbor and say, God made the difference in my life. Woo! Hallelujah. He made the difference. He's the reason you're here right now. He has sustained you. He has carried you. He has provided for you. You didn't get here by yourself. It was God who makes the difference. Every time you open your eyes, you ought to give praise to the difference maker. Every time you lay your head on your pillow, you ought to give praise to the difference maker. Every time you sit down to eat some food, you ought to give praise to the difference maker. Don't tell me how good I am, because I'm going to tell you how good God is. So King Darius said, listen. God makes the difference. So he says two things I want you to get. He says, so that means that you ought to reverence him and you ought to respect him. Get that down, somebody. Get that down. You ought to reverence him and you ought to respect him. He said people must tremble in fear. Y'all, that's reverence. That's reverence. The scripture has taught us many times how we ought to interact with God. Now, I appreciate a common jargon, you know, the Lord Jesus is my big brother. That's cool. That's cool. I'll let you make that. But don't ever try to bring him down so low. Are y'all following me? I mean, we want to make sure that he is understandable to all cultures, but the inference that I'm understanding in the text is we ought to always reverence him. What does reverence mean? To hold him in awe, in high esteem, to understand, watch this, that he is God and we are not. That he is the creator, we're the creation.
that he is the God of love that demonstrated his love to save my soul. Somebody say reverence. See, when you reverence God, it directly affects how you live your life. Because you don't do so in a vacuum. You do so understanding that the God that you serve has his eyes out for you and on you. Ooh, I feel that by myself. And see, when I was young, it was always the temptation. Amen. To do some things that were not godly. How about that? Have you ever been plotting and planning to do something that wasn't godly? And then you just felt something on your back? I mean, it's like, you trying to do what you want to do, all of you looking around. Yeah, let me tell you what that is. That's the presence of God reminding you that he is God and you are not. And see, what makes me so upset, some of y'all can testify with me, that the Lord wouldn't allow me to do some stuff that I really wanted to do. I know we succeeded in some other areas, but there are some things that the Lord would not allow me to do. Why? It's because I held him in awe. I held him in high esteem. And watch this. His spirit would convict me before I could fulfill my personal objectives. And so what King Darius is suggesting here is that you ought to fear him. That's reverence. But he also said you got to put some respect on it. You respect the Lord. You respect his house. You respect his word. We don't want to ever get so comfortable and casual with God.
So the language of the king, notice how he describes it. He says, you must tremble in fear, that's reverence and respect, before the God of Daniel. Watch this, y'all. He is admitting in that verse that it ain't even his God. Oh, y'all wake up. This is getting good. He is acknowledging in this verse that it ain't even his God. He said, this is Daniel's God. But even I, King Darius, said, I got enough sense to put some respect on it. Somebody say, God makes the difference. But secondly, this passage teaches us that God is not dead. God is not dead. One of the beliefs that is so common in our culture is the belief of the agnostics. The agnostics believe that God, yes, created the world. But once he created the world, he then removed himself. And essentially, watch this, he is just an observer with no engagement with his creation. This is what the agnostics believe. So they acknowledge that there is a God, but they don't believe he has any interaction, engagement, and an ongoing way with his creation. And so King Darius, the unbelieving king, he testified, no. Number one, I need for y'all to know that God is not dead. Look at your text. It's for he is the what? Come on, help me preach this, y'all. He is the what? The living God. And he endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. And his dominion has no end. He is the living God. He is not dead. And oftentimes when we go through seasons of difficulty, God is seemingly silent. And so it's hard when you're going through difficulties and sickness, relationship challenges, children challenges, job challenges. Those are the moments where it seems like God is silent. But he helps me to understand this, that God is alive. How is this demonstrated? He says, and he endures forever. So this speaks of the eternal nature of God. Before beginning began, God was there. After we have come and gone, watch this, God will still be there.
The constant for every single one of us is the presence and power of God. Somebody say, God is not dead.
But along with that, King Darius helps me by understanding this. Number one, he cannot be defeated. He cannot be defeated. He can't be defeated. I don't care what the devil throws at him. He can't be defeated. I don't care how bad the world gets. He can't be defeated. So as I mentioned, the Cowboys losing on last night. We serve a winning God. And see, young people, we always want to be affiliated with winners. And I'm right there with you. I'm here to testify of one who cannot be defeated. But not only he can't be defeated, secondly, his kingdom cannot be destroyed. Now see, what Darius is referencing is, you know, even his reign came to an end. And even in 2019, y'all, we battled with kings and kingdoms and presidents and all that goes along with that. Listen, everybody who is elected will one day be defeated. Oh, I need a witness up in here. But the God that we serve is never up for re-election. The God that we serve has a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. Death nor hell can overthrow his throne. I want you to be excited that we serve a God who is not dead. One song said, kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there is a consistency to the God that we serve. So King Darius breaking this thing down. He said, listen, God makes the difference. God is not dead. I'm almost finished. He says in verse 27, he rescues and delivers. He performs, watch that, signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth, for he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lion's den. Now, what I love about this is as a result of what the Lord did for Daniel, Daniel receives honorable mention in Hebrews chapter 11 as we deal with that great cloud of witnesses. In Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks to the mouths of lions being shut. And that is a direct reference to what the Lord God did for Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. He rescues and delivers. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. God makes the difference. God is not dead. Thirdly and finally, God is involved in the affairs of his people. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. God is involved in the affairs of his people. I'm going to say that one more time. God is involved in the affairs of his people. So I mentioned earlier, we're not agnostic. God didn't start this thing in motion and then leave us to our own devices. God is involved in the affairs of his people. How do you know that? Number one, he says, he performs. Somebody say, he performs. He performs. Now, see, I want you to begin to think, because I want you to shout at the end. I want you to begin to think about a scenario in your life, a situation you found yourself in. You could have stepped into it or fallen into it. But a situation you got in that soon thereafter took over and control of you. You couldn't do anything for yourself, but as this scripture rings true, he rescues and delivers. He performs signs and wonders in the heaven and on the earth. The Lord performed in your life. And as a result of his active engagement in your life situation, you can testify to the goodness of our God. Is there anybody in the house that can testify that the God you serve is and will perform? I like that. If I pass the mic around, you can testify to how he has performed in your life, how he has moved in your life, how he has provided for you and your family and your children's children.
And so what Daniel has understood is this. Daniel has seen the performance nature of God, and he's testifying. And he is testifying not only to God's performance, but ultimately, get ready to write, he is testifying to his power. Come on, somebody say power. Come on, say power. See, I don't know what you stand in need of, but I know you stand in need of something. But whatever you stand in need of, I need for you to know that he has power. Woo. So oftentimes I let my gas tank get. Y'all feel me? I let it get. Yeah, I don't pass E. I'm approaching G. I know I made it up, but it's real. You ever have a thing where your car's like, you're on your own, bro. I warned you. I gave you the mileage countdown. The light has been on for a couple of days, and you're on your own. Now, see, that's a situation where I got myself. I avoided the warning signs. I dismissed the revelation. I ignored what was being revealed to me, and I got myself into something. And I do it all too frequently, but I got myself. But I have discovered that when my car begins to sputter, every now and then, if not like clockwork, the Lord will somehow give me just a little tap. And just to get me where I need to be. See, I run out of power in my own strength. But God, thanks be to God that he is a God of power. And he has a way of helping me to reach my destiny. Is there anybody in the house? You just like me. You let that gas tank get too low. You let that situation go on too long. You should have addressed it 4 months ago, but thanks be to God. I'm finished. But I want to give you, as I said before, an opportunity to testify. See, I put there in your notes, if a pagan, an unbeliever, can testify to the power of God. Young people, what about you? What is your testimony? Now, I'm not trying to get you to shout. I'm trying to get you to speak. What is your testimony? What has the Lord done for you? As a matter of fact, don't even worry about me. I want you to find somebody near you and just tell them one thing the Lord has done. See, if you're not going to do a worldwide decree, maybe you'll do a seat-to-seat decree. I need a witness up in here. Pull on your neighbor right next to you and tell her, let me tell you what the Lord has done. Y'all looking at me, look at your neighbor. Let me tell you what the Lord has done in my life. When I was in my last dime, when I had no money, when my back was through the wall, the Lord showed up in a miraculous, when I was on my sick bed, the doctors had given up on me. God showed up when that Negro walked out of my life. I thought I was by myself, but then I looked around and I had friends and family. When I lost my job, I'd had that job for a long time, and I walked up in there and they gave me a pink slip. Before I made it home, God had already given me another job. What is your testimony that the Lord has done for you? When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Can you testify? Open up your mouth and speak the goodness of the Lord. Tell of his goodness. Tell of his grace. Make a declaration. Hey! See, I don't want Darius to cry out louder than I cry out. Has he been good to you? Has he made a way for you? Has he opened up doors for you? Well, then open up your mouth. Open up your heart and shout to the Lord. I got one more. I got one more. My situation was running out of gas, but your situation was something else. You kept avoiding the warning signs. The Lord told you in Scripture, he sent a holy believer to warn you, and you ignored all the warning signs. And then you got yourself in a situation that you could not get out of. But just at the right time, God stepped, I need a witness up in here. God stepped in and delivered you out of the den. Is there anybody in the house? God delivered you. He took the taste of drugs out your mouth. He took the taste of alcohol out your mouth. He helped you to close your legs. It was God. Oh, now you want to shout. Now you want to give him glory. I'm trying to close, but he won't quit because I keep thinking. About all that he's done. Go ahead and bless his name. Come on, I'm done. Bless his name. Come on and bless him. 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 Everybody stand on your feet if you're able. Come on and bless him up in here. Come on and bless him. Come on, bless him, bless him. Come on and bless him. Put your hands together. Come on, bless him in this place. Oh, God, we love you. Oh, we thank you for your faithfulness. Oh, we know that it's you who's made the difference. We affirm that you are not dead, and we're grateful that you're actively engaged in our affairs, and we give you praise for that. Father, when we step out of your will, you are gracious and merciful and kind to provide a path of restoration and healing. And Father, every single one of us are recipients of that grace and mercy, and we thank you, we bless you. So, Father, whatever we've accomplished for your glory and for your good, it's because you, in fact, are the difference maker. Father, we receive no praise for ourselves. We defer it to you because you alone are worthy. And we thank you, we honor you, we bless you. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen. Come on and bless him one more time. Come on.